141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Brendan Rodgers hails Celtic's big game mentality after the 4-0 win, one which gave Graham Murty his lowest moment in football. The Hoops will of course face Motherwell in the final after they swept Aberdeen aside, and St Mirren can officially start planning their return to the top flight after clinching the championship title. Your big weekend review starts right here in the company of Derek Johnson and Hugh Keevans.
How many watershed moments can Rangers have in a single season? Progress Nedercon, Graham Murty, Pedro Caixinha, Derek McInnes. For me, the heat is on at boardroom level inside Ibrox more than the dressing room, even after a 4-0 defeat from Celtic.
You watched the game again when you got home, Derek. You put yourself through it once more.
Well,
what
I wanted
did you take
to,
away from it?
I couldn't believe it the first time, so I looked again, and it didn't get any better, to be fair. I mean, I looked at it and I apologised because I said, you know, the whole side, there was no fight, there was nothing. When I look back at it, I think I would have given three players just pass marks, just for their effort in the game. I thought Doherty worked his socks off, and both fullbacks. I think the rest of them, I mean, Brendan Rodgers is on about, you know, big game mentality. Rangers have got a small game mentality. I think the lack of passion, the lack of heart, everything that Motherwell did on Saturday, Rangers didn't do on Sunday. Well beaten by a side, and Celtic played well within themselves. Having watched it again with a glass of red wine on Saturday night, you know, I said at the weekend, I didn't think they were fantastic, and they weren't fantastic, but, you know, they played well within themselves and won the game very easily indeed. And it's all right, these Rangers players coming out after the game say, oh, it was embarrassing, blah, blah. Why didn't you do anything about it when you're on the park? You know why? Because there's no leadership on the park. Everybody's as quiet as a mouse. Nobody wants to talk to each other. Nobody wants to tell somebody that they're not having a good game, get a grip of themselves. And that's a big thing on a football park. If you've got a leader, he can do something about it on the park. On Sunday watching that game, there was nothing happening with Rangers. They all just, it was one of these games where, oh well, we're beaten anyway, and they just, they never gave that 100% that you're expecting, you know, Rangers or Celtic players to give in that game. And I think they let themselves down badly, and I wish they would just stop tweeting things in the week of big games, saying absolutely stupid things. Do all your talking on the park, and if you win, say something afterwards. Don't be saying it before.
What about the leadership off the park, Derek? Because as I said in the introduction there, how many watershed moments can a club have in one season?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a fair point, Hugh, and I think the directors know that. The directors are all Rangers fans. They want to see them back where they belong. But as we said on Saturday, we argued on Saturday, the only way that Rangers are going to get back, first and foremost, they've got to decide what they're doing with the manager. It doesn't look as if Graham's going to get it now. They've got to be looking now, actively now, at a manager. They've got to be trying to get big money in, because that's the only way they're going to get anywhere near Celtic, is by spending money again. They've got a lot of players that they're going to have to get rid of, simply because they're not good enough. You know, they're sitting in there picking a wage. You know, Michael O'Halloran has come back from St Johnston, and he's never seen the light of day. And they're having to pay him big bucks. You know, people like that. Cardoso. You know, there's a lot of players that they're quite happy sitting there maybe for another year or two, depending on how their contracts are, and picking up the money. But they have to get rid of the dead wood there, and they've got to bring in decent players, better players than what they have just now.
I would just say it was Rangers who brought O'Halloran back. He didn't actually write them a letter and say, can I come back?
No, but that's what I'm saying. And why would they do that if they weren't thinking of playing him? You know, he's never really had a chance since he's come back.
Okay, Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson have had their say. They've had a bit of their say. So it's over to you. 0141 951 1025. Something that is an absolute guarantee is that you have an opinion after that game yesterday. So why not share it? 0141 951 1025. We are on Twitter as well, and that is at Clyde SSB. Let's hear from both managers then. We'll hear from Brendan Rodgers first. He says they showed their big game mentality into the Scottish Cup final and keeping their double treble hopes alive. He says he's proud of his players. They controlled it from start to finish, and after making it 10 Old Firm games unbeaten, he says it will be a tough one to take for Graham Murty.
Yeah, well, it's very good. I think that semi-finals are here to win, and if you can play well, then great. So our idea is always to play well, and I thought first half we were really dominant and control, scored two very good goals. So, I'm very, very, very pleased. You have to deal with, you know, always the tactics of the opponent. I can see what Graham was, what we're trying to do in terms of looking to close the centre of the field, keep the wingers tight to our sort of two controlling players. But obviously then you have to combat that and open out the pitch. And so the space was on the sides, and then we worked that well to then get the space inside. So, it's always easy to criticise a manager afterwards. You know, I think that, you know, we played well today and had a real edge to our game, which was good, pressed it well, and like I say, deserved to get to the final. Obviously, there's always lots of talk about up here, about the gap and all things. We never think anything other than it's always going to be a tough game. I think there's always some background noise around this game. That's my 10th game now, and there's always something around, team getting closer. But Rangers got good players. You know, it's a tough day for them today, of course. We've played well. We've won the game. Players had a real, as I said, a real good edge to the game and good composure. And like I say, we wanted to get to the final. But there's always pressure. You can't get away from it. You know, we say you play for Celtic or you manage Celtic, the expectations are huge here. So it's never gone away. So there's never a game that you don't have pressure. But of course, when you get to these games, you're always looking for that little difference in the players produced today.
It's often the way, Hugh Keevans, the focus goes on to Rangers' shortcomings and where they went wrong and where they go from here. But let's not overlook the fact that Celtic did a real good job on them. And you look at the quality of some of the finishes in particular, easy to see why Brendan Rodgers was a happy man at full-time.
Yeah, I mean, two magnificent goals. We know all about Moussa Dembele and what he can do. He's rattled the post straight away, and then he's taken the ball out of the air with supreme skill. He's given it to James Forrest, he's given it to Tom Rogic, and the skill that he showed inside the box was terrific. Callum McGregor is truly the unsung hero of Celtic. He's almost disregarded, but he's a fine player, and his finish after a terrible mistake by Russell Martin was superb. I think that Celtic at 4-0 then just took their foot off the accelerator. I think if they had wanted two or three goals more, they would have got them. But I said at the time, in yesterday's programme, the game turned into a testimonial match at 4-0.
0141 951 1025 to have your say. Mark in Giffnock is a Rangers fan. He's first up tonight. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Tanner. How are we all doing?
Not too bad, Mark. How are you doing, more importantly?
Awful. Awful.
Ditto.
I've had about 50 messages from Celtic fans today, but all in good spirit.
Only 50?
Only, Derek, you get about 300.
Oh, 300,000.
Number of points. First of all, yes, I can have a go at the players. The reality is they're rubbish for Rangers level. That's the reality. Sorry, Rangers old level, not now. Rotten. Have a go for a minute. Halliday, hopefully, well, he won't be seen in a Rangers jersey again. I think Doherty, there was a big fuss when he signed. I think he's been atrocious since he signed. I don't think he's Rangers level. I don't think any of the, not one of them deserves a contract that came in January, not one. Murphy, none of them, not one of them. We've got an absent chairman. I spoke to Alistair Johnson outside the stadium yesterday before the game. He was there. He told us Dave King wasn't there. We've got an absent chairman, which is a disgrace. Rangers now need somebody in this country. So, and now, today. So, the situation is now far worse. It's deteriorated in the last 24 hours dramatically because the board now are completely out of touch. Stuart Robertson, I don't know how he can survive either. Mark Allen, because the fact that the club have not released a statement today and come out and done anything tells me they don't have a clue what they're doing. Today, this morning, 9 o'clock, there should have been a statement, Murty's gone, or he'll be away in five games. That's the first thing that should have happened. It's not Murty's fault we're in this position, under no circumstances, but he's not Rangers manager. So that should have been announced this morning. There should have been a board meeting.
Mark, we have to hold you there because you've taken the machine gun out. We need to take it piece by piece here before you go on with any more. The statement at 9 o'clock that you say should have been there, releasing Graham Murty from his duties.
Immediately.
What would you have done then? Who would come in for the five games that remain?
It would have given the fans a bit of belief for the remaining five games. Yesterday I left the stadium.
Yeah, but that's not what I asked you. I asked you who would come in.
Who would come in? Well, they just need to give it to the remaining coaches, to Nicol, for the remaining five games. Unfortunately, Graham was shown to be inept yesterday, which isn't his fault. He's not a football manager at Rangers level. But that the board, the fact that the board, 24 hours after the disaster yesterday, which was a disaster, took place, that they haven't said anything, that tells you they don't have a clue what they're doing.
I said at the very start of the programme, Mark, that I believe that the board are now in the firing line, because how many watershed moments can a club have in a single season? Doogie Park, as you will know, is in charge now on a day-to-day basis in terms of the boardroom. Mm-hmm. He lives back in Scotland again.
Yep.
But that, I take it, is not good enough for you.
It's not good enough, because he's not he's assistant chairman, I believe, or deputy.
Yes.
They
yes.
just need a chairman in Glasgow. They need big shareholders. If King's not got the money, sell the club. Rangers, at the moment, it would appear to be a minimum of another 10 years behind Celtic. There's not one player in that Rangers squad that would get into the Celtic bench. Yesterday, I looked on the bench, Griffiths, Sinclair and Roberts, the three of them on the bench. There's not one Rangers player in the 30-man squad we've got, from Murphy to Tavernier to Fodderingham to Winders to Morelos, that would make the Celtic bench, not even the Celtic bench of the seven. That's an embarrassment.
Therefore, and I agree with you, therefore, it's going to take something radical, because the gap at the moment looks as if it's unable to be bridged unless fresh investment and on a huge scale is brought in at Rangers.
Mark, it's the easiest thing in the world to say, you know, the directors are not doing it, get them out, you know, get somebody to buy their shares, somebody with money. Where are these people?
Okay.
Where are they, Mark? You tell me.
I've not come on and said get all the directors out. I've said we have an absent chairman at the moment. I don't doubt for a second he saved the club. 100% he saved the club. But now Rangers need somebody in this country, first
who?
Of all.
Tell me who. And I know what you're saying, and everybody would say the same thing. Mm-hmm. But where do you find them?
Well, as you say, they've got Douglas Park. So don't make him assistant chairman. Make him chairman. Dave King, step down immediately and make Douglas Park the chairman, if that's the case. They're going to have to. We had an AGM in December, the end of November, beginning of December, the resolutions were put through, mm-hmm. so we could float the club and get more, get more shares in and bring in more money. It's not happened yet. It now appears to the support King's holding the club back. That's one of the things that now appears to be happening. We don't have a manager. Come on, it's been eight, nine months since Coutinho was removed, which was a disaster. Murty's come in. There's been some good games. He's done his best. This isn't an attack on Graham Murty. He's not good enough. That's the reality. But today, this morning, are you telling me that they've spent the last 6 months not trying to get a man in place for the end of this season?
Well, I'll tell you what, let's hear from Graham Murty, shall we? Because he says he cannot put into words how bad the performance was yesterday, but he won't discuss what it means for his future. He understands the frustrations of Halliday and Candias, who both reacted angrily to being subbed, and he says he will speak to the players this week about their conduct.
It's a lonely place standing on the sideline when that's going on, but I don't think words are enough to convey how I'm feeling right now.
When you look at the game then, where do you start in terms of what went wrong?
There's lots of things to look at. In the raw emotion of it now, I didn't think we got close enough to them. I didn't think we put them in enough pressure, allowed them to play too easily. But all four goals, I thought, were easily avoidable, just through basic good defending. And then in the second half, we give them a penalty and a sending off, which makes their job far, far easier.
What did you make of both the penalty decision and the red card?
Doesn't really matter, does it? It's been done.
Do you look at yourself and in terms of the way you played today, do you feel you personally maybe got something wrong?
I'll have a look at it. I think there's things that we can all get better at, but I think that it's too raw right now to go into it. You need to actually look at it in the cold light of day.
When you made changes, you made an early change and brought Andy Halliday off. He didn't seem happy about that.
I wouldn't have been happy. I completely understand his frustration. I was reacting to the situation in the game. I wanted to get a different shape to the team. Josh fitted that bill. Andy's frustrated. I'll see him in a week. We'll have a chat, and we'll move forward from there.
Daniel Candias, likewise.
Once again, it's a frustration thing. If you deal with people in an emotional state, all you'll get is an emotional response.
How do you see Rangers getting closer to Celtic?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? With really good recruitment, with really good tactics, and with more passion and belief than we showed today.
What's that performance done for your appetite?
I'm not going to talk about my role. I think it would be churlish and selfish in the extreme to talk about my own situation in the rawness of that.
Alan is in Cumbernauld. Hi, Alan.
Hi there. Good evening. I thought to speak to you and Derek, please.
Yep, they're listening.
Just a brief follow-on from the call from the previous caller there. We went to Hampden yesterday with a table of 10 at Ibrox for the pre-match entertainment, etc., and hospitality, which was a great experience. And we went over to Hampden, and within the first 5 minutes, when we heard the team selection, we looked at the way they were playing. Everybody just looked at each other and went, what is going on here? Within 5 minutes, I knew we all knew the game was lost. We watched the commitment, no pressing. The only way they got to them at Ibrox the last time, they pressed up the park, we'd done a bit of damage. Then we just, as if we go on a 4 or 5 day run, game run, we play Celtic, back the way we go. And for Graham Murty, what he'd done to Andy Halliday was nothing short of disgraceful. I cannot believe he'd done that to a player like that. 3 minutes, so it's not going to make... He wanted to change the game. The game was gone as soon as the second goal went in. What you said was, where do we change there? Who comes in? That is an absolute mystery. But for the last 20 years, I have never seen a performance like that for a Rangers team. Mm-hmm. It was gutless, spineless, and likewise for the manager, just a disgrace. I'd like to see what you think about that.
And do you know what, Alan, in saying that, you know, you go back 3 and a bit weeks and you look at, and it was basically the same side, you know, that were beaten 3-2 by Celtic. But they're a whisker away from at least getting a draw in that game. When you look at that and you looked at it on Sunday, I mean, it was two completely different Rangers sides. I think you're right, gutless, spineless, heartless. I mean, anything less, you know, that was Rangers on Sunday. And I think for Rangers players to go out and play like that, I mean, everybody can have a bad game, but the one thing that you expect as a Rangers supporter off of these players, they're giving you absolutely everything they've got, and that didn't happen on Sunday.
I keep hearing this, Hugh, and of course I understand it, because it's the free stuff, it's the minimum requirement, this call it what you will, fight, yeah, determination, heart, passion, so on. We hear these buzzwords all the time. Is the biggest part of the problem not, quite simply, the Rangers playing squad is vastly inferior to Celtic's? End of story.
Correct. And there's no point in dwelling on who did what and why Andy Halliday was brought off and all the rest of it. It's all water under the bridge now. I take no pleasure in seeing a good man like Graham Murty being skewered in this fashion, but he was left twisting in the wind by the Ibrox board. And that's why I keep coming back to it. And I'd like to ask Alan this question, as someone who spends good money watching Rangers. The board are under the microscope now, Alan, I believe, because the Rangers supporters over the years when they were out of the major leagues showed tremendous loyalty to the team and turned up in their tens of thousands and bought tickets in their tens of thousands. But I can't believe that the Rangers support will continue to prop up a regime that they don't believe is fit for purpose.
Well, I would like to agree with that, Hugh, but every away game sold out. The home games are all sold out. But walking out there yesterday, everybody just looked at each other and, how much more can we take of this?
But that's what I mean. It's the seasons that follow on from here, and that's why I think it's crucial that Rangers, if Dave King and his cohorts do not have sufficient investment to take Rangers forward, then something will need to happen, because on the evidence of yesterday's game, and you look at the quality that Celtic have, you look at Celtic's continuing ability to make tens of millions of pounds from the Champions League, the gap is becoming unbridgeable unless something radical happens inside Rangers.
See, I take umbrage a wee bit, Gordon. You said, you know, they were just inferior. They weren't inferior 3 and a bit weeks ago. They were a lot closer. I mean, that's all I'm saying. It was a different game yesterday. That was a one-off yesterday, and they were absolutely battered. Two completely different teams for Rangers 3 weeks ago and now. It's the same players. They've got decent players, but so why can't they do it as a unit? That's what gets
so
to
which,
me.
So which ones would bother the Celtic starting 11?
No, I'm not saying bother. I'm just talking about the game as a whole. They were beaten 3-2 at Ibrox. Really unlucky not to at least get a draw. Well,
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm asking you to compare the squads.
They're not as good as Celtic. Of course they're not.
Well, that's what inferior means.
No, you're talking about in playing wise. When they played 3.5 weeks ago, they weren't inferior to Celtic. But they were yesterday.
But if they started next season, if the exact same squad of players started next season, it would be with the exact same results.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. I mean, as I keep saying, the board will get stick, but I'll tell you what, they know fine well what they need in that team, and there has to be investment. I don't know where the money's coming from, but they're going to have to find it from somewhere.
Okay, we're going to hear a bit more from Graham Murty and Brendan Rodgers. Some very interesting comments indeed. They're coming up after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. And if you want to join us, 01419511025. Let's hear a bit more from both managers, shall we? Graham Murty's apologising to the Rangers fans who went to Hampden yesterday. He says it's the lowest he's felt during his time in football, but he did stop short of saying that the players let him down.
There is, yeah, not today. I didn't feel it today in the first half. I felt it before, felt it in the last game at home. But that belief keeps on getting challenged, and that's when we collectively have to step up. The players need to respond for themselves. It's not just Celtic we've got to play. There's big games ahead of us. We need to make sure we get a response between now and the end of the season if we want to go and finish as we should.
The players let you down today?
I'm not going to answer that one.
Did they let themselves down?
You'll have to ask the players. But we all need to have a look at our contribution to today.
Graham, I want the Rangers fans left before the final whistle, long before the final whistle, understandably. What would be your message to them tonight?
I would apologise to them for the game. I would ask for their patience and ask them to keep believing, but it's no good to keep asking it. You have to go and put a performance in to be worthy of their support. I thought their support was fantastic. It's been brilliant the whole time I've been here. The whole time I've been at the football club, our support is absolutely outstanding. We didn't do enough to make them want to stay in the stadium today.
You said that it would take better recruitment in order to close the gap. What assurance have you been given that can be done come the summer?
Recruitment is an ongoing process, as I've said before. Those steps are being taken.
What sort of response did you get from the players in the dressing room afterwards?
Emotional.
In what sense?
There's anger, there's frustration, there's all the kinds of emotions you would expect from a changing room that's just gone through that.
Does that give you an encouragement that there is a disappointment there that they can't?
There should be a disappointment there. There should be a frustration there. There should be an anger there. It's about making sure you turn that into positives and turn that into energy to power you through to the end of the season, rather than allow it to be destructive.
Is this feeling for you? Is this the role you feel in football?
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay, Tony's a Celtic fan in Motherwell. Hi, Tony. Hi, Tony.
Hiya.
Something funny? Is that a joke you can share with the class?
No, just on to my mate there.
Oh, that's fine. On you go.
I just want to make a point about what Derek Johnson was saying about the golf is not that big. But he was saying based on the fact that Celtic only beat Rangers 3-2, I would like to say that Bayern Munich only beat Celtic 2-1. But does that mean that Bayern Munich are only slightly better than Celtic? No, because Bayern Munich are a far superior team than Celtic. And I think everybody knows that Rangers are far inferior to Celtic. I would just like to hear your thoughts on that.
That is unarguable. Celtic will complete 7 in a row sometime over the next couple of weeks, perhaps even on Saturday. And the gulf in class between the two sides is the length of an ocean. And it's for Rangers to get fresh investment before Celtic go on and win 10 in a row, because if Rangers don't get fresh investment on the scale required, then it will be 10 in a row for Celtic. So that much is unarguable.
I think, to be fair, Derek, whilst because of the position of the two clubs and Celtic benefiting from Champions League and so on, I think everyone knows that Rangers don't have the spending power of Celtic. So rather than worrying about where this money might come from, surely it's about spending the money they do have better, wisely,
yeah,
better than
yeah,
they have.
Totally,
if you look at, I mean, the wages spent, and I don't mean to pick on these three guys, but for instance, the wages that have gone on Peña, Herrera, and Alves could have been spent significantly better.
Absolutely,
that's undeniable.
And I go along with that. And even David Bates left because, you know, seemingly Rangers wouldn't give him the £7,500
a quarter or whatever of what Bruno Alves gets.
Absolutely, you know, and they weren't prepared to do that because in the past, as you have just suggested, there's players come in there who are getting mega money and have done absolutely nothing. So they're not going to get caught out that way again. But you're right, whatever money they've got to use wisely. All I was talking about, I mean, I don't like the word inferior. Celtic have got all the money and they've got all the best players in Scotland. I accept that. There's no team can get anywhere near Celtic at this moment in time. All I said was, for all the money they have and for Rangers have got nothing, 3.5 weeks ago, you know, they've done really well, Rangers, against them. And they have in the last four or five games. They've had a couple of batterings, the 5-1 game at Ibrox and everything and all that sort of stuff. We accept that. But I think, in the last three or four games, they've been close. They've not been the batterings that, like they got yesterday. And I think that's what's got to a lot of Rangers fans. That fight that they had in these other games wasn't there yesterday.
Gordon,
and that's the disappointment.
The point you make about the Peñas of this world is well made and absolutely accurate. But this all goes back to the decision to appoint Pedro Caixinha, because he's the one who came in and squandered the money. And the decision to appoint Pedro Caixinha is unfathomable. And that's why the pressure is on the board, because it's their club and they did it. Somebody in the boardroom decided this man was the right guy. And within months, he has created mayhem and he's off the premises and further millions have been wasted.
And that was the one thing the board did give him, was money to spend. Mm. You know, and yep, you're right, spending it wisely was another thing.
Tony, what pleased you most about your own team yesterday?
I just thought the performance was absolutely outstanding from start to finish. I just thought we totally bossed the game. I thought Celtic were outstanding. I thought we dominated from start to finish. And I was just absolutely delighted with the result.
I think Brendan Rodgers used the phrase big game mentality, Hugh. Was that epitomised by Moussa Dembele, who gets lots of critics on this programme after his performance at Hamilton last week? And time again we get people phoning in to say Lee Griffiths deserves to start and so on. But yet again, in the big game, and particularly the ones against Rangers, he stepped up to the plate, didn't he?
I think he steps up to the plate because he's wise enough to know that these are the games he's judged on. And they go nationwide on television and everyone gets a right good look at what a good player he is. Take him back to Hamilton Accies on a sleepy Sunday and he might decide that he can't be bothered with that. But Celtic's performance was outstanding. The worry for Rangers is they have to go to Celtic Park in 2 weeks' time. And we've all had a look back at the game.
Mm.
And for me, Rangers now look frightened of Celtic.
Well, yeah. Graham Murty looked emotional, didn't he? It was visible. We heard his interview there, certain things he didn't want to go into. Brendan Rodgers actually came to the defence of Graham Murty. He says some of the criticism he's receiving is over the top.
Yeah, it's football management. And obviously he's starting out his career. And like I say, he's done a great job with the youth and the development side there. He stepped in. And like I say, it wasn't that long ago everyone was talking about what the very good job he'd done. So, like I say, and in football management, you can't be brilliant one game and then if you lose a game, not be so good the next one. So, but they're tough to take because this was, obviously, they wanted the opportunity. The players themselves, they obviously felt confident after they beat Ayr 6-1 that this was maybe going to be the chance for them. So, like I say, I have empathy for every manager because it's obviously a difficult job.
You know, he's a very, very passionate man, Graham Murty. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He hasn't been at Rangers all that long, but he knows what it's all about. And he feels when he loses games and things don't go well for him, you heard it in his voice there. I don't think a lot of the players feel exactly the same way, and that is a big, big problem for him. The one thing he would learn, and hopefully he has learned, that Ross McCrory is a better midfielder than he is a centre-back. Dembele played excellent on Saturday and bullied him simply because he's bigger than him, you know, and he's a lot stronger than Ross. Ross is a decent player. I like him in midfield rather as a centre-back. Any experienced striker, a big lad with a bit of weight, is going to lean on him and is going to get the better of him.
The problem that Graham Murty has now, you've got 5 games. Now, Rangers have to finish second or there'll be even more criticism. He's got 5 games. He's got Andy Halliday, who came off the park yesterday, and I know it was a wrong decision that Graham Murty made there. He should have left it at half time, but it made no difference whatsoever, and he could have told him just to stay in the dressing room when someone else comes on. He's got Greg Doherty and Alfredo Morelos scrapping. Although it is our understanding tonight that Rangers will take no action against either player, and I think that's fair enough. They don't need any more problems, and they don't need to create problems for themselves any more than they already have. And you've also got Daniel Candace, who is subbed and walks straight up the tunnel and doesn't care what happens to Rangers after he's gone. So for me, he's got 5 games to negotiate. Some fans are unhappy he's still there, and he's got disunity in the dressing room.
Well, on that, let me put a positive, or try to look at it from a positive spin, because I know that's not popular in this part of the world after a defeat like that, and I get it. Rangers fans are bound to be disappointed and hurt. You certainly would be if you'd paid your money to watch that. Having said that, still in the driving seat to finish second, Hugh. So what if Graham Murty goes on to finish second? I'm not saying it's enough to land him the job, but is it really as bad as tonight's mood would have you believe?
I think you would have to wait until all 5 games have been played, because I don't accept that they're in the driving seat. I think when they've got...
Well, Aberdeen after the weekend don't look in particularly great shakes either.
I do understand that. And that's why Hibs could yet come to finish second in the league. I don't think anyone's in the driving seat. Not Aberdeen, not Hibs, not Rangers.
Any one of the three could finish. You're right. Yeah. It's going to be that tough.
And I don't know how Graham Murty sorts this out in time for the Hearts game, and certainly in time for the Celtic game that follows.
Stephen's in Renfrew. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Gordon. Hugh and Derek, how yous doing?
All good. Right. Stephen, what's your point?
Terrible.
Well, just a talk about both sides. I've seen glimpses of the game. I was working at it. There's a tremendous sort of gap now on the field and off the field. But as they were talking about, Derek was talking about investment for the Ibrox club. It's not just investment they need. It needs to, all round from top to bottom, it needs to be fixed. And probably as soon as possible, and a sort of Rangers point of view.
What do you mean, Stephen? What do you mean, the people are in charge?
It's not that you can't just put the blame on the people in charge. It's coming like... who you're going to pick for being manager. I hope Graham Murty in a Scottish sort of scene that he's going to get, I think he's going to get back to his job. Is that correct, Derek?
Well, I hope so. I very much hope so. Whether he can go back to that again, we don't know is the answer to that, but I still would like to see him at Rangers if that is the case.
And incidentally, the people in charge will appoint the next manager, so you do have to look at the people in charge.
Yeah, I want all Scottish teams to be better, because I think the Scottish Premiership is really good at the moment. And you were talking, you're not even mentioned Kilmarnock, but if you look at the on their winning spree, that they could catch up also. So it's a very competitive league at the moment.
Yeah, it's been a bad weekend for Rangers, that's for sure. It's also been a bad weekend for Aberdeen, because so much came into... came under the spotlight there with their performance against Motherwell and their big defeat from Motherwell.
And a bad day for Hamilton as well, Hugh.
I know
you're talking about the top.
The teams at the top. Aberdeen and Rangers, for them, a bad weekend. And Scottish football needs a strong Aberdeen, strong Rangers, strong everybody. But Aberdeen and Rangers really had a very bad weekend, and the next 5 games for both of them will be very interesting indeed.
Okay, keep the calls coming. 0141 951 1025. We'll get more of them in after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap in. Please gamble responsibly.
Derek Johnson and Hugh Keevans are here with me, Gordon Duncan. And if you'd like to join us, please do. 0141 951 1025 is the number you need. Jim is a Rangers fan in Rutherglen. Hi, Jim.
Hi, guys. How you doing? Good evening.
All good, Jim.
Good. Just after yesterday's performance, just my main points mainly to DJ tonight. DJ, as you as an ex-player, that performance was unforgivable. It's the first time after an Old Firm game I've saw so many ex-players come out and have a pop at the Rangers side that played the day before. Rangers fans were now a victim of your own loyalty and support. Yesterday was totally, I know Murty's been hung out to dry, but and all right, fair dues, he's out of depth, but the players themselves, go to look at that yesterday because that was appalling. Yeah. And if I know we're scraping the bottom of the barrel here, but if you can take one positive, say it, the best thing that happened to Celtic was us beating them in that semi-final on penalties. If you can take one positive, it really showed where we are. From the boardroom level to the park, it showed you a realistic measure of where we are. Say to my son, 10 minutes into the game, Motherwell would be giving them a better game than we are doing.
Yeah.
And it was that bad.
And why would Motherwell give them a better game?
Because Motherwell play with passion and pride.
Absolutely.
And get tore right in.
You're 100% correct. You know, they're a good footballing side as well, Motherwell, but they've got that closing down and that grit between their teeth, something
exactly
that Rangers don't have. I agree with you 100%.
Jim, the point you make about the semi-final 2 years ago and that being the worst thing that Rangers could have done, you're absolutely correct, because it proved to Celtic that Ronnie Dyla was finding the job too difficult and that they had to get rid of him, and it proved to Celtic that they had to go and make a strong statement for the benefit of their supporters. So they go and they pay Brendan Rodgers astronomical money by Scottish standards to become Celtic manager. Now, yesterday, Jim, yet another watershed moment for Rangers. Surely that semi-final defeat proves to Dave King that they need to do a Celtic now. They need to do a Celtic by getting a manager of the calibre of Brendan Rodgers, and then it's not my job to find them money. They have to find it. They have to find the manager first of all, and then back him financially.
You yourself would admit that's all easier said than done.
I do. But unless Rangers make inroads towards doing it,
but That's the only way they can go forward.
This gap will be unbridgeable, and Celtic will get 10 in a row unless Rangers can do something about it. Dave King came in on the promise that he would stop Celtic getting 10 in a row.
Clock's
ticking.
Yes, on you go. I know a lot of people disagree with me, but I think you can see clearly now, back in the day, why Murray was the man and no Dave King. Because Murray's decision making was far better than Dave King's. The principles and the standards at the club were far better under Murray than under Dave King.
I'd have to say that all of David Murray's actions, with the benefit of hindsight, are now being called into question. So, you know, I couldn't agree with you on that one.
The decision making view for managers and stuff like that, and even Martin Bain in his position dealt with everything well. Or Le Guin was brought in on principles and it was a great coup. Didn't work out and it was fixed within 6 months, and Walter and Ali brought back in.
Yeah.
You know, the decision making on that side, I know at the end, all right, everything that went on, but up to the decision, and at this moment in time we need a 1986 Souness overhaul revolution at that level.
And how did the Souness revolution evolve? It evolved by the spending of huge money.
Funding.
Yeah, the spending of huge money to bring in the Terry Butchers of this world and so on and so forth. Rangers are at that moment now. If Rangers don't find fresh investment, find themselves a manager who can go head to head with Brendan Rodgers, then the gap is unbridgeable.
Are you giving pass marks to anyone, Jim?
No. I know if the DJ says earlier on Doherty and the two fullbacks.
I said for effort, and people running their socks. That's the reason I gave it.
And that was being kind though, DJ. It's just there's nobody that you could really say that merited it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it was that bad. Yeah. It was that bad.
Okay, thank you to Jim and Rutherglen. Let's hear a bit from Craig Gordon, shall we? Was called into action, of course, in the second half. Rangers did have their moments. Let's hear what the Celtic goalkeeper made of it.
Yeah, it was good. Good to get back in. That's my second game back after a long period of time. And this was probably always the focus. This was a game that was on the horizon while I was going through all my rehab to try and get back for this one. So the result and the performance today makes it all worthwhile, all the hours in the gym, the
to focus to try and get back and get myself in shape to play in this game and be able to contribute to the team. So yeah, it's great for me personally, but also for the medical team that have helped me get here to put myself in the position to play today. It was really quiet, unusually so. We didn't even have many touches with my feet. There wasn't many pass backs, so it was always going to be that the case that I would have to keep my concentration, and if something did arise, then to try and match it. And then thankfully today I managed to pull off a few saves in the second half that contributed to a good win in the end.
Let there be no debate, Craig Gordon is without doubt Celtic's number one goalkeeper. Scott Bain will serve as an admirable deputy. Doris De Vries could make plans to go somewhere else now. His two saves yesterday from Alfredo Morelos' header and Bruno Alves' header were incredible. Just incredible. Morelos will still be wondering why he didn't score with the other chance, but Craig Gordon again, even though the finish was poor on Morelos' part, Craig Gordon still had the presence to be there. He's a terrific goalkeeper.
Yeah, Derek, I don't think anyone's suggesting that Rangers could have gone on to win the game or anything like that, but they had a chance to maybe, just maybe, put a different complexion on things.
It was a consolation goal had they scored it, but again, he couldn't do it when it mattered, Morelos. Yes, he scored 18 goals or whatever he scored this season, but he was more intent in fighting with other players after he'd been booked, you know, rather than using all his fight and energy to win the ball and get forward. I mean, it's a goal 9 times out of 10 he would put in the back of the net, but you know, just the lack of confidence or whatever it is, you know, he still couldn't score. And I'm not blaming him for that. I mean, the whole team takes a responsibility on Sunday. You know, they didn't play as a unit and they were very, very poor.
I think I said this on, or I asked the question on Saturday. As a young player brought in for a relatively smallish fee, first season in the country and all the rest of it, I don't think you can really argue too much with Morelos' goal scoring overall, Hugh. I think that would be harsh. However, does he have some sort of difficulty with this fixture? Is it the pressure or what is it then?
Well, you know, he hasn't scored in the fixture, therefore there's clearly something wrong, whether it's some subconscious problem that he has with it all. But in this fixture, when you make a mistake once, a big mistake, it takes a long time to get forgiveness from the supporters. When you do it twice, you know, if there is an offer for him at the end of the season from China, Rangers should take it.
Joe is in Kirkdonald. Hi, Joe.
How you doing, guys?
Fine, thank you.
Just a quick point. I think Graham Murray has been used as a doormat. I'm a Celtic fan, and I think he's getting the sharp end of the stick. I think too many people are jumping in the bandwagon to slate the guy for what he's done for Rangers. I think he's done a not so bad job. He's done better than Cassinia. And I just think that the comments are getting thrown towards him are, I don't think they're deserved, if I'm going to be honest.
You tend to find this about Graham Murray, Hugh, that there are certain elements of even the Celtic support, like Joe, I'm not saying them all, but certain elements who simply feel sorry for someone who seems like a good guy in the wrong movie at times.
Yeah, of course. As I said earlier on, it gives me no pleasure to see a decent man skewered in this fashion, and he clearly is a decent man. But by the end of his press conference after the game yesterday, he was becoming emotionally overwrought. Yeah. And I'm not sure that Graham Murray is actually cut out for top flight management. However, that's up to him.
Having said that, surely these challenges are fairly different from where what you would experience at many
other
clubs.
I'll serve him in good stead, that's for sure.
Happily let him prove me wrong. However, he was the last man standing at Ibrox when the Cassinia fiasco was over. Yep. And he did Rangers a favour by taking over. He's had good days, he's had bad days, and he's had rank rotten days like yesterday. But he is past tense. He's got to negotiate these five games to see if Rangers finished second. But go back to the big picture. The big picture is who succeeds Graham Murray.
Final word to you, Joe.
Do you think that Murray will stay at Rangers, Hugh, or do you think he'll move on? Do you think his position is now not untenable at Rangers Football Club?
I think if he wants to take up his old job, then I think that should be given to him. It's entirely up to Graham Murray, because none of us know how he feels when he shuts the door behind him at night and goes into the house. None of us know what toll has been taken off him on a personal level by his months in charge at Rangers.
I mean, if it is the case, Hugh, then they've got to offer him his job back again, because he was good at his job at the under-20s. You know, I've said it before, he's sitting in his office and all of a sudden, I want you to take over. And he's not going to knock that back. He was brave to do it. That's why I will never give Graham Murty stick. He's a rookie, we know that. And he won't get the job now, and he knows that as well.
Beat the pundits with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It's almost time for Beat the Pundit. 30 seconds, as many questions right as you can, head to head against the pundits for the chance to win a signed ball. Hugh and DJ are both standing by, and if you would like to take them on, if you think tonight is your night, then go and pick up that phone right now. 01419511025, and you could play Beat the Pundit after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Evans and Derek Johnson are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Of course, we're going to continue looking back to yesterday's game, but let's not forget Celtic will now play Motherwell in the Scottish Cup final, so we'll look at things through that lens after we do this.
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is indeed time for Beat the Pundit. Hugh and DJ are standing by, and one of them is going to be up against Gary from the Gorbals. He's a Celtic fan, so he's already in a happy mood, and you're just going to try and top it off with a Beat the Pundit victory, Gary.
Yeah, well, woke up this morning feeling champion, so let's hope I'm feeling that way after Beat the Pundit.
See, that's it, Hugh, when you get... Yep. We talk about momentum, confidence. Well, you know, that's what Gary's feeling right now.
I hope I get him tonight. Get a victory. I'm desperate to get Gary.
Try and make up for it. Try and salvage something. Let's toss the coin and find out who you are going to play. So heads, it's Hugh Keevan's. Tails, it's Derek Johnson. And DJ is going to have to wait because it's heads. So it's Hugh Keevan's up against Gary. Let's give Hugh some Clyde 2 in his ear so that he can't listen to us, Gary. And we'll get the clock up and running. 30 seconds, head to head. You can pass. Here's your chance to beat the pundit, Gary, okay?
No worries.
Which Rangers player was sent off in yesterday's game?
It was McSorley.
Which English team was Neil Doncaster the chief executive of between 2001 and 2009?
Repeat that?
Neil Doncaster, where was he the chief exec? Who scored a double for Motherwell in their 3-0 win against Aberdeen on Saturday?
Curtis Men.
Which town do East Fife play their home games in?
Fife.
Other than Dundee United, which other Scottish team did Walter Smith play for?
Dunfermline.
Which, I'll just about squeeze that one in, which team has St Johnstone's Stephen McLean signed a pre-contract with?
Hearts.
Okay,
sure.
That's fine. Let's bring Hugh Keevans back. Hugh, are you with us?
I am.
You are. Same set of questions to you. You ready?
Okay.
Which Rangers player was sent off in yesterday's game?
McCrory.
Which English team was Neil Doncaster the chief executive of between 2001 and 2009? Who scored a double for Motherwell in their 3-0 win against Aberdeen?
Curtis Main.
Which town do East Fife play their home games in?
Bethel.
Other than Dundee United, which Scottish team did Walter Smith play for?
Dumbarton.
Which team has St Johnstone's Stephen McLean signed a pre-contract
Hearts.
With? Where did Paul Lambert end his playing career?
Livingston.
Okay. How are you feeling about that, Gary?
Well gubbed.
Well, you were feeling champion. The old fella must have been feeling not too bad himself, because he certainly sounded confident.
I lost it after the second one.
Let's go through them anyway. First one, which Rangers player was sent off? A wee easy one, just to ease you both in. It was, of course, Ross McCrory. So it was 1-1. In fairness to you, Gary, you didn't hear the full question. I tried to repeat it quickly, and that probably just confused things, because I didn't read the full question. Anyway, it was Norwich City. Neil Doncaster was the chief executive of. So it goes 2-1 to Hugh. You are back on the money though, Gary. Curtis Main scored the double for Motherwell, so it's 3-2 at this moment in time. It went to 4-2. I was never letting you away with Fife, Gary, I'm afraid. It was indeed
Well, it was in Fife. It is in Fife.
Methil. So it's 4-2 to Hugh Keevans. I'll tell you what, he was on fire tonight. 5-2 Dumbarton, the other Scottish team which Walter Smith played for. Again, Gary, you might have been a guess, but you got it right. Hearts is where St Johnstone Stephen McLean has signed a pre-contract with. So it's 6-3. And then he just rounded it off in style. He managed to get Livingston, even though it sounded like a bit of a guess. Paul Lambert finished his playing career at Livingston. 7-3, Mr. Keevans.
There you are.
Well, at least I didn't lose to Derek.
That's true. Do you know what, Gary? I wrote the answers down and I got six of the seven.
Oh, I'm sure I did. There
yes,
we go.
Yes, victory.
Go on, Gary.
Which one didn't you get?
I didn't get the Paul Lambert. That was the only one I didn't get.
Well, Gary Hardlines, thanks for taking part. Good man.
No worries, guys.
Well done, son.
There we are. Beat the Pundit back at the same time tomorrow night. If you want to play, then why not? Give it a go. Hugh Keevans was in good form there, but that's not to say it's always going to be the case. We'll continue looking back to the weekend's game. So it's 01419511025 to have your say. And now, of course, if we look forward, Celtic are going to take on Motherwell in the Scottish Cup final. Stephen Robinson couldn't be prouder of his players after they secured their first final since 2011, a really dominant 3-0 win against Aberdeen. And the Firth Park boss admitting he was a bit surprised by the lack of fight from Derek McInnes' side, but he's glad that the club and the town will have their big day at the end of May.
No, I think it was a super performance, you know, from start to finish. It was always going to be a tight game and we managed to get the first goal. I thought Aberdeen started better than us, they're a good side. You know, once we settled, but the goal settled us right down. And once we went 2-0 up, I didn't think we were going to get beat. You know, the boys stick to a game plan. They know how to play. And I'm ever so delighted for them. They are a super bunch of boys. And I said the one word to describe it to them in the dressing room is proud. Just so proud of each and every one.
To a man, just the levels didn't seem to drop the entire 90 minutes. They just kept that motivation all the way through.
Yeah, we know we're fit. We know we've got a lot of legs and energy in the team. And incredible stats that we've just had through the amount of ground that we covered as a team. So you can't ask for any more. And say that you'll make mistakes and you'll play better on occasions, but they give me absolutely everything and they got their just rewards today.
Are you surprised at how comprehensive a victory it was for you?
Yeah, because Aberdeen are a very good side. You know, Derek's got some very, very good individuals. And even at 2-0, there's always a chance, you know, they can get back into the game. You know, they've got the luxury of bringing Mackay Stevens on and Alm again, two players that can change the game. So, yeah, you're always worried. But I thought, you know, everything we've built our season on has been the back three, the back five, and I thought they were terrific today. They kept us in the game when we needed to, and they settled us, and some super performances.
Spain, your team was really impressive today. Aldred, Campbell, Grimshaw, Maiden. I mean, just in terms of what rate, can you say about just what they gave you today?
Yeah, Andy Rose as well. Andy Rose has been out 5 weeks to put that level of performance in a position that's not one he's played in before. But he's such an intelligent footballer, people don't give him the credit for it. Young Alan gives me that every single week. He's been terrific. Grimmy, again, been out 5 weeks with a hamstring injury, played one game. So we've got boys that have got real fitness levels. The back three, you know, you say Tom, but the two other side of him as well, Teddy and Cads. You know, they've excelled, they deserve it. And, you know, I'm just delighted they get the chance to go and get into another final.
Motherwell fans, just how impressed were you with what you witnessed on Saturday? And I suppose the bigger question, can you do it? Celtic going for the double treble, can you be the ones to throw a spanner in the works and win the Scottish Cup yourself? 01419511025.
Just whiling away the hours today, I put the old newspaper man's hat on and I thought, how will my old colleagues in the press talk of this game in the week of the final? And I thought, the aristocrats versus the artisans, the Bash Street kids versus the Quality Street gang. And that's no disrespect to Motherwell, because I looked at some photographs of what was going on Saturday at Hampden. There's the chairman of the club with a huge Motherwell scarf on, a huge Motherwell tie. There's the chief executive, Alan Burrows, sitting down in among the crowd when he could have been up in the posh seats. Everything about Motherwell is about fighting for the cause, and the cause is the town of Motherwell. And every football team that has a cause is a danger. So Celtic will give them every respect, because Brendan Rodgers would not have it any other way. And he will understand the quality of what they have done to make their second final of the season. But here we have a team fighting for a town against, no one can argue, a better side. So it's going to be a tremendous and emotional contest.
I mean, you know what I'm looking forward to. I mean, when you look at the goal scorers on Saturday in Main and Bowman, they will give that Celtic back four problems just because they're in and about them all the time. Yeah. Plenty of energy. They're physical as well. This is going to be one cracking game.
That's why I say the aristocrats. Lustig is going to the World Cup final with Sweden. Boyata could go to the World Cup finals with Belgium. Up against a guy who got a free from Portsmouth, and another one who, Ryan Bowman, came from Gateshead, who are not even a fully professional club. So, wonderful. Well done, Motherwell. And it's going to be a great final, because look what's on offer here for Celtic. The double treble, history, and... for both sets of fans, it's going to be a great day.
Come on, Motherwell fans, how happy were you? Have you come down off the ceiling yet from the weekend? If you have, it might be a good time to give us a call. 01419511025. For every winner, there's a loser, Hugh Keevans. And Derek McInnes says it was a huge wake-up call that his squad is simply not as strong as it should be. And in particular, he talks about recruitment over the last two transfer windows.
Disappointed, expected more. In terms of the game, I felt there was... You know, it was a bit of concern when you make so many changes and playing players that haven't ordinarily been playing, how they settle into the game. I actually thought we settled okay, nothing more than that. I thought we bedded our way into the game without really showing the aggression and imposing ourselves on it. I thought we dealt with their longer ball up pretty well in that opening period, as we've done when we've beaten Motherwell in the past. But the first time we really don't deal with it, they get in. Anderson should maybe do better off the goalkeeper's kick. I think Dominic Ball should be in a better position to deal with the next one. But it is a handball. It's a handball. I think the referee is more responsible for that first goal. Tate clearly knocks it on his arm into his path. And while Dominic shouldn't stop, you know, I don't think that he's ever going to recover that situation. Between the five officials, you know, there's as many officials working today, you'd be able to get that right. Still in our hands to finish second. Hibs and Rangers will be saying the exact same. The fact that we're still speaking about finishing second at this stage of the season, you know, illustrates that the players have done a lot of good work. You know, I said I wouldn't use the players that weren't available as an excuse, but I think it was clear that we struggled there to actually replace like for like. Where I take responsibility for today, I don't take responsibility really in terms of today's performance. Me and my staff have worked really hard and prepared the team well. And you can't always, as a staff and a manager, legislate for mistakes. Where we take responsibility, where I take more responsibility, is in the recruitment. In both windows, you know, I think we sometimes you don't know until you know. And today smacked me between the eyes, really, about the squad, the strength of the squad wasn't good enough.
You could argue Derek McInnes had the most depressing weekend of all, because Graham Murty is only an interim charge of Rangers and won't be there next season in that capacity. I hope he's still there as the under-20s coach, but he won't be there in that capacity. Derek McInnes, on the other hand, has to pick up Aberdeen now. Out of two cup competitions to Motherwell on an aggregate score of 6-0, and they now have to try and finish second, which would at least give them a dignified end to the season. But they were woeful at Hampden.
I mean, watching the whole game there as well, I was so disappointed with Aberdeen. You know, as I said on Saturday, you know, they've got better players than Motherwell, and that's not being disrespectful for Motherwell, but when you look at the individuals, I'm not talking about as a team, individuals, Aberdeen do have better players, but that doesn't mean a monkey's hue. If you don't put the effort in and are organised, then you're not going to win games, and Motherwell have shown everybody. See if you put a wee bit of effort into it and give your absolute all and get in and about teams, close them down, take your chances when you get them, defend in numbers, then you've every chance of winning games, and that's exactly what they did.
Motherwell fans, we're still here if you want to talk, and St Mirren fans, get ready, because in the not too distant future, I'm definitely wanting to talk about your title win. Chris is in Easterhouse, so hi Chris.
Hi guys, how you doing?
All good, Chris.
I just got a few things I was wanting to get off my chest. I'm a Celtic fan, obviously very chuffed with the result yesterday. First night back at work the night after a week off, and I don't think I could have faced it. It went the other way. First thing I was going to say was, I know there's a lot of talk about Rangers players being below par, not being quite at the races yesterday, everybody getting not getting a pass mark, sorry. I was quite surprised, because I remember back in the, I think it was the fourth or the fifth minute, Dembele had that volley. I never really heard anything said about it, but I thought Fodderingham had made a cracking save there, which I think if he'd scored at that point, it would have just been floodgates, like, more so than what actually did happen.
It actually hit the post and then hit Fodderingham.
On the way out. Yeah.
But my main point was that I think that that Rangers did actually try, but Celtic had seen it in the 3-2 game. It was nothing fresh for them. They weren't expecting that, and they just right up their game back to the levels of last year, played them off the park. I just think that the Rangers players aren't quite at the races with Celtic at all, and they were in a bit at the deep end.
Well, I mean, you know, I have to disagree with your assessment, because for me, the Rangers players looked intimidated, frightened, call it what you will, from the word go, and were never able to offer any kind of resistance to Celtic. And if Celtic had gone at the match for the full 90 minutes the way they started the match, it would have been 6 or 7 nothing. But Celtic, in the last 15 minutes of the match, pretty much approached it like a testimonial game.
I'd agree with that.
Who stuck out for you, Chris? Who stuck out for you in terms of man of the match or whatever, if you can pick one, or who do you think were the key men?
Who was that guy in the green and white tops?
You're just going to say any one of them?
I'd pretty much insert name here. And Cham and Brown just swaggered about that midfield. I think Chris Boyd had mentioned in the studio when I watched it back that at half time Scott Brown could have just been playing with slippers on. I think that was a fair assessment of his performance. I think that Celtic's level was just so far ahead. I think at the end of the game, you're watching the last 10-15 minutes, Celtic players are missing shots. Cal McGregor ballooning the ball over the bar and he's laughing about it. And a semi-final against your fiercest rivals, and he's laughing about missing a shot. Griffiths put the ball in his head, just wandering about doing tricks.
They're showboating because they're in front of their own supporters, and you know that's fine. Football lives under a what goes around comes around culture, and when you're on top, you milk it for all it's worth. And one day the opponent that you have humiliated might just come back and get a turn against you. So you never know. So I don't have anything to say about people who are showboating or grandstanding, whatever. That's fine. It was their day. They earned it.
Okay, thank you to Chris in Easterhouse. Keep the calls coming. And St Mirren fans, I know you've probably been out partying all weekend, but it's Monday night. You should have returned home by now.
I'm not sure about
that. And if you haven't, please do so for your own sake. But we really want to hear from you. What a weekend it was. The place was packed out, party atmosphere. You got the point you needed. You've won the championship and you're coming back to the top flight next season. How does it feel? Give us a call. 0141 951 1025. And we're going to hear from your manager, Jack Ross, as well. Just before we do that, something I'd like to tell you about. Slightly away from the round ball for a second, Hugh Keevans, because we've got a very nice prize to give away on Saturday the 28th of April. Glasgow Warriors up against Edinburgh in the third and final 1872 Cup clash of the season, and we're going to send a coach load of Clyde One listeners to BT Murrayfield. It's all part of Silver Saturday, a big day of rugby cup finals in Edinburgh. Now, to be on that Clyde One coach, it comes to and from Partick thanks to First Bus. All you have to do is head to clydeone.com/warriors and you could win yourself a pair of tickets. St Mirren coming up next. Get in touch.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. St Mirren fans, where are you? 0141 951 1025. Describe to us how you're feeling after that weekend, and we're going to hear from Jack Ross as well. Quickly though, let's get the full time teaser up and running. This one was sent in by Dylan Patton, and by the way folks, if you've got a teaser that you want to send in, please do. It's fulltime@clyde1.com. So since the year 2000, 10 outfield players have played at least 10 Old Firm games for Celtic without scoring in one. Can you name them? Since 2000, 10 outfield players have played at least 10 Old Firm games for Celtic without scoring in one.
Can you name them?
No.
Give me that again, Gordon. Sorry, Edward.
Since 2000, 10 outfield players have played at least 10 Old Firm games for Celtic, right, but they've never scored in one.
Johan Mjalby.
Yes. And I'll give you a wee clue.
Tommy Boyd.
No. I'll give you a wee clue. Dylan sent this question in last week. And there were 9 on it. There are now 10. Somebody played his 10th Old Firm game for Celtic yesterday and still hasn't scored in one.
Boyata.
Nope.
Tierney.
Yes.
Must be aye.
Kieran Tierney. So you've got two so far, Mjalby and Tierney. 8 more to go. We've got a St Mirren fan on the line. Keep them coming. 0141 951 1025. Sum it up, Hugh Keevans.
Well, you know, the goalless draw, So a tense afternoon for the St Mirren supporters, but a wonderful crowd, 6,127, all the 6,000 belong to St Mirren.
And, so, it would be 6,126 if you hadn't gone along, Derek.
Yeah, correct. So, yes.
So it's great to see them back in. I spoke of Motherwell earlier on and people who fight for their town. Paisley has rekindled its love affair with St Mirren.
Yeah.
It was wonderful to hear Tony Fitzpatrick on this programme on Saturday, someone with a 40-year background at the club. And it's just great for them. I go back to that day when they beat Hearts 3-2 in the League Cup final. My goodness, what a tremendous final it was. And then thereafter, things went wrong for Danny Lennon and Tommy Craig. And then Alec Ray took over and, things just didn't go well for the club. And now that Jack Ross has come in, and I said to him on Saturday, all managerial appointments carry an element of risk. So to what extent were you taking a gamble on St Mirren as much as they were taking a gamble on you? And it's happily turned out to be a marriage of convenience.
You know, there was a great feel-good factor before the game, Hugh. You know, everybody was smiling. Often you see that, but, you know, there was that anticipation in the game. I spoke with Tony, and honestly, there was no nerves at all. He's saying, look, it's one of these things. If we get a result and win the league, then you'll see a different Tony. And he was fantastic. You know, and well done to the St Mirren fans. You said 6,000. That's nearly double what normally go and see them. And the most wonderful thing was 5 minutes to go. It's 0-0. They know even if they get a draw, you know, they're up. The whole four stands all stood up and started singing and clapping. Yeah. The atmosphere was absolutely fantastic. Wasn't the greatest game. The one bit of skill, as they said, the one bit of skill was Lewis Morgan. Cutting from the left, beat three men. He's hit a ball that's cannoned off the inside of the post. I didn't realise that Neil Alexander actually got a hand to it and put it onto the post. So it was a wonderful save, but that was probably the only decent chance in the game. Livingston came for a point and they were delighted to go away with a point, but great day at St Mirren. It was a wonderful afternoon.
We're going to hear from Jack Ross, but first let's hear from James, who's a St Mirren fan in Paisley. James, have you managed to calm down yet?
No delay, guys, no delay. Let me tell you, it's a very happy time to be a St Mirren fan. The atmosphere at St Mirren Park on Saturday was just something fantastic. Really, really, really good to see myself and my young family there. Celebrate these scenes at the end was just incredible. Yeah. Incredible.
And you know what was great as well, James, for me? I mean, obviously the fans were going to come on the pitch, and they did. There were thousands came on the pitch right in front of the main stand, and the announcer said, look, the players are not coming out unless everybody goes back over the wall and sits in their seat. And honestly, within 5 minutes, everybody was back. You know, yeah. There was no nonsense. They went back and the players came out, and it was a wonderful situation.
It was wonderful, yeah. And the fans down at St Mirren Park in the last 18 months have really got behind Jack Ross and the squad there. And from where we were 18 months ago to where we are now, a turnaround is absolutely wonderful. Do you know what I mean? We were suffering, we were nearly in League One. Here we are, we're on our way back to the Premier League.
Carry on, James.
Sorry, the chairman's out today and he's saying we're going for top six. Jack Ross is a guy that could get us top six. Now, I know you might beat that down and say you've got to come up, you've got to consolidate, but we're buzzing right now. Top six for us, easy peasy.
and you said the words there that they usually sing, we're on our way, isn't it?
We're on our way.
They sung that a few times, yeah.
Listen, on the 16th of April.
From the start of the season, we've sung that song, to be fair, you know?
Yeah.
And the belief, you know, Jack Ross talked about belief and trust, though, that the guys had in the squad. And that's mirrored from the fans to the players. And you've got the same respect back from Jack Ross, the management team, the players as well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
James, on the 16th of April, you can say whatever you like. You can say it from now until August, and then we'll get back to reality and we'll see how things go. But I can only say I wish you well. It's a smashing club. And you're right to highlight the family aspect, because I've got friends in the media who support St Mirren, and they are very careful to take their children there, and they want to bring their children up in the club. Mm. It's terrific. Welcome back.
I think there's only one worry for me, James. There's only one worry. Can you keep the manager? I think he's got a wee bit of a reputation now, and he's been fantastic for Sunderland. But as you know, there are always clubs getting rid of their manager, always looking for young talent.
You're right, Derek. But Jack Ross, he's already knocked back Dundee at the start of the season. Barnsley came in.
Yeah.
He did say he was committed to the club. He was passionate about getting the job done to get us back in the Premier League. I hope he continues on and makes us a good Premier League team.
Yeah.
No one that's going to be dangling with relegation. I think Jack Ross can do the job to make
I hope, James, though, that the fans understand that you are, of course, taking a huge leap. And I hope the fans are tolerant.
They are. I would say we're buzzing right now. Top six, we're having a wee laugh here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll go up there if we can stay up there. Yeah.
But he needs a wee bit of recruitment. That's the important thing.
Well, let's hear from Jack Ross, shall we? He says it was a huge relief to clinch the title at the weekend. The third opportunity, if you like, that they've had to do it. It's been a couple of years now out of the top flight. But he says guiding the Saints back to the Premiership is one of the proudest achievements of his career.
A little bit relieved, I think, to eventually get over the line. And then beyond that, I think a huge amount of pride and satisfaction that my players have received the reward I think they've deserved for their efforts this season. So it's a really good day here, a terrific feeling at the full-time whistle, and we'll enjoy the next couple of weeks of this season. The aim was to be promoted and to win the league, and that obviously grows as the season goes on. I think more people buy into it. For me, it was always there, for I always believed it. I think some of my players did. I think as the season went on, more joined in with that. We recruited in January ones who bought into it as well. And since the turn of the year, I feel as if I've had a group that I've absolutely believed that they would win the league. It's a strange feeling at the moment. As I said, I think more pride and satisfaction from my players. But I think as a manager, even over the last couple of weeks, it's been a different feeling, a different challenge, dealing with the pressure of trying to go over the line. It's a great experience for me as well. And certainly in the fullness of time, I look back on it and take enormous pride in achieving this championship this season.
He's a good man. He's a sound manager. He will understand that the huge leap is about to be taken. He will recall going to Aberdeen in cup competition earlier in the season and losing 4 goals there and getting a bit of a lesson from an Aberdeen side who are not having a glorious season. So he'll need to recoup well. But it's good to have St Mirren back. Well,
but you know what he's got, Hugh? He's got a lot of kids, you know, that have got great potential. McGinnis lad and is it Cammy Smith as well? McGinn in midfield, who had a hamstring problem, came off against Dundee United on the Tuesday, but played there at the
more
weekend.
Experienced
he was
of the
absolutely
team
outstanding. Absolutely outstanding.
Here's a question from Colin on Twitter. He says, do Morton have to give St Mirren a guard of honour on Saturday? It would be a fitting gesture from our rivals. Now bear in mind St Mirren do play Falkirk tomorrow as well.
It's our last home game though, Morton, on Saturday. So they'll receive the trophy.
Do you know what, this whole guard of honour thing, I don't think that teams should be made to feel they have to give you a guard of honour. Zinedine Zidane has said that Real Madrid will not give Barcelona a guard of honour. So for me, people want it to be seen as a way of rubbing their rivals' noses in something.
You did hear that right, by the way. Hugh just compared the Clásico to St Mirren against Morton. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, because it will come up if Celtic play Rangers and Celtic have already won the title. I don't believe in a guard of honour. You're the champions. Champions are absolute. You've done your work. You're the best. You don't need to rub anybody's noses in it.
Is it not just a sign of respect, a bit of...
No, not in Scotland.
Not when it's rivals like that. No.
Okay. Lee is also a St Mirren fan on the line. Hi, Lee.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Not too bad. Sum it all up for us, Lee.
Just absolutely buzzing about the season. Like James said before, we've came a long way, and there's such a good buzz about the town in general, and the crowds are up, and it's just fantastic. I was thinking maybe when I had a few too many sherbets that we could do top six, but I don't think that's realistic. I think for us it's going to have to be, maintaining Premier League status and being able to, whatever it is, just don't get relegated or don't get into that playoff position and try and build from there. I think we might lose a few players potentially because of certain performances.
And I think Big DJ said as well, you know, holding on to the manager would be a big coup for us as well. But I think just being positive and it feels really good. Just, I'm just dead chuffed. That's all I've got to say, really, guys.
Yeah.
Just walk before you run. You know, just come up and... In the first season, I would say that survival is the word that would be synonymous with St Mirren, because it is a leap, and Lewis Morgan is off to Celtic, and who knows who else might leave. So I'm assuming Jack Ross will be there, and Jack Ross will know that survival is the first priority, and then gradually build and let the young players that Derek's talking about bed in, and then see where you go. But first season, survival.
Lee, it's been title winning form all season. In recent months it became a matter of when, not if. But I'm wondering, as a fan, and I know fans sometimes can be glass half full, glass half empty, it depends, when did you think, right, this is it, we're winning this league? When did the belief really kick in?
I'm quite a sceptic. So
Saturday at half past four then?
Yeah, essentially I was, you know how it is in football, and things can go wrong, and St Mirren are sometimes one of them clubs that kind of can do that to you. But I think the past 2 months I've been very confident that it's going to happen. So yeah, probably the past 2 months I was pretty confident that we'd at least get into the playoffs. But yeah, like you say, probably the last couple of games I was extremely confident.
Understandably, Jack Ross has taken a lot of plaudits, rightly so. Guys like Lewis Morgan grabbing the headlines with the move. Who have been the unsung heroes, if you like? Who are the guys that deserve a bit more credit? Oh, he's gone. I didn't think it was that difficult a question, was it?
No.
I think he was...
But I think the likes of McGuinness and Smith have been outstanding young lads. They just perform every week. There's a stability about that side, and it's not often he changes it. If he wins, he normally just plays that same 11.
I've got a good solution. Alex is a St Mirren fan in Kirkdonald. He can answer me. Alex, who have been the unsung heroes?
Unsung heroes, Gordon, I think you need to start with Samson in goal.
Mm-hmm.
The game that we won the league is when we beat Dundee United at home 3-0, and Samson saved a penalty.
Around Christmas time, wasn't it?
Yeah, we would have went a goal down there. It would have completely changed the way the league had ended up. Dundee United would have got their nose in front, and who knows what would have happened. You know, I think we lost one game at home last December, and that was the night when I think a lot of Spurs fans thought, you know, we can beat the so-called favourites 3-0 at home, we can do anything.
And of all people, I think it was Dumbarton that won too, wasn't it, at home? Was it Dumbarton
that
beat?
Yeah, that was the home defeat,
Yeah,
Dumbarton beat us 1-0, Derek.
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, we went a fantastic run at the tail end of last season.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys in the forum have been saying that's when they kind of thought we might bring me a shout. We went a great run at the end of last season.
That kept you up, didn't it?
Done the same again.
Aye.
Done the same again this year. We've went in great runs, and I think that's testament to it. To answer one of Hugh's points, don't ever stop dreaming. Leicester City.
What are you trying to say here, Alex?
Well, Tony Fitzpatrick said we'd win the SPL by 2021. And all joking aside, you know, one of the things about Tony, what he brings to that club at the time of his appointment was key, his enthusiasm, ambition.
Do they have UFOs in Paisley?
I was going to say, we're having some sort of signal difficulty. Oh, there we are, he's back. We lost you for a second, carry on.
Are we going to win the SPL next year? Absolutely not. However, don't give up on a dream. A dream would be top six. And, you know, walk before we run. There's no harm in trying to sprint. Absolutely no harm. But to sprint, you need the best trainers. So we need to buy about 10 players the close season. 10 or 12 players. There's going to be 10 will move on. We need to bring 10 or 12 in. We've got a bit of cash there from winning the league. I keep saying it every time I'm on. I hope him sell John McGinn, because we're on a third of that. So that'll let us buy some more players. Where Derek talks up all the good St Mirren players that have left in the last two seasons, and you might sell Josh McGinnis. I'm on here every time trying to sell John McGinn out of Hibs so that we can get a third of that transfer fee.
Quite right.
Give us some players in there. But listen, what a weekend it's been, guys. I actually think this Saturday will be better. The St Mirren fans are looking forward to this Saturday more because it's Morton. The Guard of Honour thing, you can have your thoughts on it. But see, for us this Saturday, there's no a better feeling seeing 11 Morton players applaud the champions onto the pitch at home.
Okay, thank you to Alec, a St Mirren fan. Donald Michael Monkhouse is on. He says, I'm a Morton supporter, and first of all, I'd like to congratulate St Mirren on winning the league. I was wondering the panel's opinion on how they'll do in the top tier next season. Hopefully we've kind of covered that off, because we need to get back to the teaser quickly.
I'll give you two names.
Since 2000, 10 outfield players have played at least 10 Old Firm games for Celtic but never scored in one. You've got Mialbi and Tierney.
Neil Lennon.
Yes.
Emilio Izaguirre.
Yes.
There you are.
DJ, any guesses from
no,
you?
I left it for you there, yeah.
Well, we've got some work to do on the teaser. We'll get the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Into the final part of tonight's show with Derek Johnson and Hugh Keevans. Still time to squeeze some calls in. 0141 951 1025. They're going through this teaser. It was sent in by Dylan Patton, and it says, since 2000, there have been 10 outfield players to have played at least 10 Old Firm games for Celtic, but never scoring a goal in the fixture. And actually, Dylan's been in touch on Twitter and says, I sent the teaser in. It's now 10 if you add on Tierney after yesterday. But we covered that off already. So we're looking for 10. Kieran Tierney, Emilio Izaguirre, Johan Mialbi, and Neil Lennon so far. You've still got 6 to get, so I'm hoping you're going to make some progress here.
So am I.
You said Boyata, didn't you?
Yeah, he's not one.
He's not one.
There's only one in the current squad, I'll give you that. I'm feeling generous tonight. It's a bit early for clues, but I'll tell you that there is one in the current squad.
Too much silence.
Yeah, exactly. Anyone want to talk? Fill the gap there.
James Forrest?
Yes, well done to you.
He's not scored.
He hasn't.
Oh, you've surprised me there.
Surprised me as well. But there we go. So we've got 5 to get. Bearing in mind from 2000, so you're looking at a couple in the Martin O'Neill era. Mm-hmm. You've got a couple in the Neil Lennon era. And you've got one who, quite frankly, I can't exactly remember which era, but I would guess Tony Mowbray. Around that time, anyway. All right, keep the guesses coming. Jim is in Easterhouse. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how you doing, boys?
All good, thanks.
I just wanted to talk about why Graham Murray is refusing to play Fabio Cardoso instead of Russell Martin. Russell Martin got hunted for Norwich City for a reason, and we end up with him for a reason. I don't know why we ended up with him, but just want to know why. Well, I'll ask you, why you think
I don't think I don't think that Cardozo is necessarily any better than Russell Martin, to be honest.
Oh no, what has he done wrong? What has he done wrong the full season?
He never strikes me as being the bravest, for a start.
Russell Martin's not the bravest either. Did you see him putting his body on the line yesterday? No. The only person that put his body on the line yesterday was...
Nobody put their body on the line yesterday. That was a problem.
No.
I'm not a fan of Cardozo, to be fair. I thought he started off okay for Rangers, but then a lot of mistakes, a lot of daft fouls outside the box that cost Rangers. And I think balls into the box, he's not the greatest in the air either.
To be fair, Jimmy did come on at Ibrox, didn't he, in the previous game, and I'm not sure he had a particularly comfortable afternoon.
He's been out for a long time. He's not had a game for a while.
Was he not the one that, when the ball went over the top to Dembele, that lost him and allowed Dembele to lob the ball over?
No, I would have more blamed that, wasn't he, Cardoso's fault. I'd have more blamed that on Wes Fotheringham.
I would have to say to you, Jim, you know, fair enough, you believe Cardoso should be there. I'm saying he's no better than Russell Martin, but Rangers' problems run far deeper than whether Cardoso or Russell Martin should play.
Yeah.
No, definitely. Definitely. I agree with that, but I don't see why he'd ever. He started with at least Cardoso and Alves in the back.
Look at the bigger picture, Jim. What did you think?
Was that the game? And it was ridiculous. I've never walked to a Rangers game in my life. Mm-hmm. Not until I need to go. And last night, it got to 80 minutes yesterday, and I had to go. I couldn't watch it. I've watched Rangers for 30 years. Mm-hmm. I've been to some of the biggest games, and I've never seen anything so spineless in my life. You look at Celtic, for the back, even for Craig Gordon, they've got a spinier team. We haven't.
Well, as I say, that's why there's no point in talking about Martin or Cardoso. The whole Rangers team yesterday was suspect. And when
You're saying the whole Rangers team. Greg Docherty was a standout player for Rangers yesterday.
They didn't have a standout player, let's be honest. How can you have a standout player and lose 4-0?
No, you're getting me wrong. He was a standout player for Rangers. He was the only one that gave everything. The only one that played for the jersey yesterday.
I'm actually amazed we haven't got round to it yet, but it's been a very busy show, Hugh. Newspaper reports this morning, in fact, that Greg Docherty and Morelos had a bit of a set to afterwards. Was this in the tunnel?
There is
footage available, which sort of shows the moment on the pitch, if you like. You see Morelos give the ball away and you hear Greg Docherty.
But do you know what, Gordon? I wish that anger was out on the pitch.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's needed. Why do you wait till you come off before you argue? You should be on the pitch giving it that show a wee bit.
Well, to me, there was nothing there yesterday. Absolutely nothing. I was actually ashamed.
Let me ask you this question, Jim.
Kids in the background.
I am assuming that Graham Murty will not be in charge of Rangers at the start of next season.
He was never going to be in charge.
But anyway, who would you like to see?
Steve Clark.
Right, that seems to be the overall.
Steve Clark, every day of the week. Every day of the week. If they don't go for Steve Clark, this independent board that went and brought in Pedro Caixinha, they should have nothing to do with the people that brings in the next manager. They failed in bringing in Derek McInnes. Maybe it was a blessing in disguise. They failed for Derek McInnes. They should have nothing more to do with hiring and firing a manager.
I think actually
they should bring in Steve Clark.
Dave King should actually come over from South Africa now, I think, and be seen to be hands-on, because to be the owner of the club, the chairman of the club, and apparently not to have very much to do with the appointment of a manager at the club, that just strikes me as incongruous. So I think you should get over here and
that's a nice word to finish off the show. I'm happy with that. Yeah, good stuff.
You should get over here and run the place.
Okay, thank you to Jim in Easterhouse. That will be the final call of the evening, because you two are lagging on this teaser. Looking for 10 outfield players who've played at least 10 Old Firm games for Celtic since 2000, but have never scored in one. You've still got 5 to get, I think.
I know, we've been through all the names. Joe Ledley scored.
Don't tell me it's Mark Wilson.
No, he scored. He scored the famous one, didn't he? Yeah. The mushroom got on the score sheet. Right, come on then. You've got a couple of Scots in there. Scottish defender. The one in particular is from
Marky McKay?
No. Come on, much later than that. The Neil Lennon era.
Scottish defender.
Then went on to play with another team in the top flight, who are in the Scottish Cup final.
Stephen McManus.
Yes. And who was he often found nearby? Who would be
Gillespie?
They're now just making up names. Caldwell. This is magnificent. Caldwell, yes, well done. So we've got Caldwell and McManus. So you've got 3 to get. So let's go back quickly to the Martin and Ealy era ones, if you like. Sort of wing back type, very fast. Up and down the right hand side.
Nationality.
Well, now you're testing me, because it's some very, very obscure.
Number 7, all wide in the right.
I wish you hadn't asked me that. Somewhere very obscure indeed.
Agat.
Yes, there we are. Didier Agat. Two more. One has also managed one of the Tayside clubs. He's also managed a Glasgow club as well, actually.
Jackie McNamara.
And the last one, which I knew you would struggle with, because it is the hardest, he's German. It's about all you really need to know. Celtic haven't had too many.
Andy Tom scored at Ibrox.
Later than that. Good bit later than that. Similar first name. Similar.
Andreas.
Really don't know how else to describe this guy to you. Quick. You want his initials? Quick. A. H.
Herzog.
Nope. It's Herzog.
this is my Stern John.
Quick, we're running out of time. Well, I'm gonna have to give you it's Hinkle.
Andy Hinkle.
Thank you to Hugh and DJ. Don't go anywhere, because Callum Gallagher is up next. He's got some music from John Newman.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.